Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're almost finished with this epistle in the final chapter. Our text today is going to be verses 14 through 18. I'll be reading beginning in verse 10 for context. Now, before we hear the preaching and the reading of God's word, let's go before him once again in prayer. Our great God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we hunger for your word this day. We are weary and weak. We are hungry and desire to be fed by the very truth of your word. Feed us the pure milk of your word, Lord, that we indeed may grow. Open our understanding, O Holy Spirit, that we may grasp and that we may put into practice those things which you teach us. Be with us and at work in us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Well, Ephesians chapter 10, chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Hear now the word of God written for you and for me today. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always and with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen. Thus far the reading of his holy word. Well, people of God, the command to stand. This was the call of the Apostle Paul to the saints in the midst of adversity and spiritual warfare. And we are called to do the same. But standing in the midst of it all isn't easy, is it? You may often be disappointed in your success in standing for the glory of God. And I understand, I have my own struggles. We all do. When we look around us, we see others having similar issues. Our friends, our family, fellow saints in the church are battle-worn and weary. And so we know that we're not alone, but the problem remains. Standing is quite the challenge, and we are called to stand. And so how do we do it? Well, Paul helps us with this question as he paints a picture of God helping his soldiers to stand firm in battle. In this picture, we find two important things: being prepared and being protected. Being prepared and being protected. As we consider this, we can recognize that no wise soldier would go into battle unprepared or unprotected. And further, God doesn't leave us powerless and unprotected. Soldiers spend many, many days training and strength building. Think about it. Soldiers spend hours upon hours in the gym and in PT and in running around the base and doing all sorts of calisthenics, obstacle courses, everything, in order to build up their physical strength. They also spend hours upon hours disciplining their minds to keep themselves alert and focused, even in hazardous and very difficult situations. They train to be ready for the specific needs of their mission, of their battle, considering their enemy, considering the battlefield, considering their resources. Now, Paul taught us about our enemy and the battlefield, didn't he? We, as Christian soldiers, also need strength for the spiritual battles that we face. With all the dangers and the threats and the snares in this life, Christians can't walk forward well in service to Christ without courage and strength. And so where does our strength come from? If we are to stand, we must stand in the strength of the Lord and in the power of his might, Paul taught us. We draw on Christ's strength as Lord. We draw on the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And this isn't just pie in the sky stuff, right? It's not just the theoretical or the theological. This is brought home to apply in the day-to-day battles that we personally have, as well as those that we fight as a body. We must not go into battle with only our street clothes on, right? Protection is a vital part of our preparation. Paul told us to armor up specifically by putting on the whole armor of God. And in doing so, we will be able to both stand against the wiles of the devil and to withstand in the evil day. And so today, Paul really takes us to God's armory. He takes us to God's armory. He walks us through, giving us a training tour, showing us each piece that we will need to suit up in. And so let's consider each of the seven pieces that Paul presents here together. Look with me at verse 14. Paul says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, if you remember in verses 11 and 13 that I read a few minutes ago, Paul commands us to put on the armor so that we can stand. The same is true in verse 14. We are to stand having taken it up, he says. Our doing so isn't an option. We must take it up. We must put it on. And now this divine armor has seven important pieces. And as Paul walks us through these pieces, let's keep in mind two things. One, Paul was quite familiar with the standard armor of Roman soldiers. And here we might even think of his consideration of a Roman foot soldier. We will see that Paul combines the weapons of such a soldier with a number of Old Testament images of the Messiah as a warrior as well, particularly in Isaiah, and we'll look more at those passages in a few moments. But remember, secondly, that the Greek word for whole armor literally means every weapon. I mentioned it last time, but I want to mention it again as we look at these. It means every weapon, and it refers to a complete set of defensive and offensive armor. And we'll see this to be true in these seven pieces. So what was the first piece that Paul teaches us about? It's truth. And notice what's true about truth. Truth is to be like a belt. It's to be like a belt around our waist. You can picture it. A Roman soldier had a leather belt that supported and protected his lower abdomen. The belt gathered his tunic and held his sword. It really held and anchored the entire armor together in many ways. Christians have truth as such a protection and anchor as well, don't we? But what is this truth that Paul speaks of? We are anchored in the objective truth of the gospel. The truth of the crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ. We have God-given confidence in this truth. For Jesus is the truth. And I want you to keep in mind this as well, that this armor points us to Christ. We're going to see that in each of these. But here, Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life he has proclaimed to us. Now, the second piece is that of righteousness. And righteousness is described to be like a breastplate. Now, breastplates were critical for protection of the soldiers' vital organs. Right? They protected the heart. And now, different soldiers wore different kinds of breastplates. Some of them covered the front and the back. Some of them only covered the front. But in either case, the breastplate was a vital piece of the armor. Without it, the soldiers would be incredibly vulnerable in battle. And so Paul here points us to two things going on simultaneously here in this righteousness as a breastplate. First, the protection that we have in the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us. Scripture teaches us that Jesus is our righteousness. And where do we see that to be true? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. We read there, But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Jesus is our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we are clothed in Christ's righteousness. We can stand up to the slander and the accusations of the devil when they assail us. But second, Paul is pointing us to our putting on the righteous character of Christ and leading a holy life. We see that in the context of this passage that Paul was leading up to in the previous chapters. Our growing in godliness gives us confidence in resisting temptation. Remember what Paul previously taught us in chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. You can look back there if you'd like. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For what? The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So we are to walk in this life, in the battle. We are to walk in godly, holy lives. We are to pursue holiness. We are to walk in godliness. But what does he say thirdly in verse 15? This third piece is peace. It's the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it's described to be like shoes or sandals. Now, sturdy sandals made the soldier stable. It gave protection to their feet. They could travel greater distances with these sturdy sandals on. And as they traveled those greater distances, they could move faster, be more agile, and catch the enemy off guard. Now think about it. The peace that comes from the gospel prepares us for battle against evil. It prepares us for battle against evil. It guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, Paul taught Philippi. It helps us to go long distances in our war against darkness. For we are at peace with God in Christ, and we also have peace and contentment, which helps us to be ready. Again, we see Christ in this. Jesus is our peace. And the gospel of peace is also the good news we proclaim to those in darkness. So it prepares us in the battle, but that gospel message is also the message that we are taking forth and proclaiming in the midst of the battle. Chapter 2, verses 14 through 17 of this epistle, remember those words. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. So we see this wonderful work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, our eyes are taken to Christ. Our focus is on him. As we're looking at who he is in being our peace, but what he has also done in making peace. He has brought peoples who were not one, and he has made them one in him, in the church. So it's the gospel of peace that gives us a sure and secure footing and a solid foundation in this life. But then next we see in verse 16, faith. We find a special piece of armor in the shield of faith. Now, how do we know that it's important? How do we know that this is special? Well, he prefaces what he says about it by saying, take it above all. Picture this shield. Roman shields for foot soldiers, they were tall, maybe 4 feet by 2 feet. They would really cover the whole body. They were made of wood, covered in hide, and then bound with iron at the top and at the bottom. And so the soldiers would then dip the shield in water before battle, so that if the enemy shot arrows that were ignited and lit on fire at them, the fire would extinguish when it hit the shield. And this is a great illustration of the Christian life as we fight with faith, isn't it? For Paul says that Satan shoots fiery darts at us. And yet, shoot as he may, our faith is everything to us in the midst of temptation. We need to think of it as such. Whereas the breastplate protects our vitals, we can turn this full body shield in any direction and be protected as the darts may try to pierce us. And maybe even they stick. But our faith quenches those fiery darts on contact, and so they don't cause further damage and burning us each and every day. We know that the Christian life is hard, my friends. But all the more reason to see these pieces of armor, to see their value, to see their purpose, to see Jesus in them. And to make sure that we are clothed, that we are armored up, that we are ready in many ways, even though one could say rightly in the illustration of a soldier that at some point they would take their armor off, right? Maybe when they go to bed. But for us, this spiritual armor stays on all the time. It's never intended to be taken off. In fact, Satan doesn't just have certain hours of the day from, you know, maybe during daylight from dawn to dusk or otherwise, to attack us. You know, it's kind of like that old cartoon where you saw the sheepdog, right? And he would clock in at the beginning of the day, and his prey would clock in also. They'd go after each other all day long. At the end of the day, they'd clock out. Hey, Bob. Hey, George. Those were probably not their names. But it's not like that at all, right? Satan is a roaring lion prowling around seeking whom he can devour. He's got a bead on God's people. And he is pursuing us with his minions every day, all the time. We always have to be on guard. We never take off this armor. We must not put down our shields, unstrap our breastplates, take off our belts. It always needs to be on and secure and ready to go. Consider 1 John 5, 4 through 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We have the victory in Christ, for he is the victor. Satan is defeated, but he still rails. But also look at 17a. The next piece is the helmet of salvation. And this helmet of salvation is also a critical piece of God's armor. Why? Because it protects our head. It protects our mind. We as soldiers need to be alert and to think on our feet before the battle comes and in the midst of the battle. And the helmet helps us with that. The helmet protects our heads from being vulnerable to that which may assail. We can keep our heads lifted high as we go through the battle. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Our salvation is secure in Christ. We've talked about this much and many times in other passages, right? Jesus is our salvation. He is our true hope. And we are confident in God's faithfulness. We are confident in our forward-looking hope that Peter has taught us much about, hasn't he? The forward-looking hope of our salvation, the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls, when Christ returns and he makes all things new, he brings it to completion. Our salvation and the hope of our salvation is not just in the here and now. We're trusting in his promises now, but we also have our eyes forward in hope. God indeed will begin that good, will complete that good work that he has begun in us. Philippians 1:6. But then finally in verse 17b, we see that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the one offensive weapon in God's armor. Now, some may say the shield is also an offensive weapon. You can do some damage with that shield, right? But here, specifically, we see that the sword of the Spirit is the offensive weapon, and we are to be a people who are grounded in the living Word of the living God, that we know the Word, we study the Word, and we use the Word in battle. Like our Savior did. Like our Lord Jesus did. Sometimes using the Word in battle is something we forget, right? We go for other things, or maybe we look for other resources. But this is what a good purpose and reason in the Word is using it, especially in these times. It's essential that we do so. And Jesus gives us a great example when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. His consistent response to each temptation was, "As it is written." He rebuked Satan with the Word. And so we need to make sure that we know our sword, that we know the sharpness of the sword. This sword is not a sword that needs to be sharpened like metal swords do. This sword is inherently sharp.
It's living and powerful. But God calls us to use it. That's what we must do. But here the words of Isaiah in prophesying the Messiah who would be a warrior. For indeed, even as I've been talking about in each of these pieces, it is pointing us to Christ. Look at Isaiah 11, verses 4 through 5. Isaiah 11, verses 4 through 5. We read there, "But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." So we see an image, a picture of the Messiah even girded up and using these very things, using the things that he truly is the definition of in his work, in his acts, even in judgment. Isaiah 52, verse 7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" Indeed, that's what the Messiah does, what our Lord Jesus Christ does. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is the Savior. He is the one that all prophecy pointed to. Even what the prophet Isaiah and who he was pointing to, he was pointing to him. We see these passages painting a similar picture that Paul paints in Ephesians 6. Isaiah 59, verse 17. Excuse me, beginning back in verse 15. "Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak." So what's the image that we see here? We see the Messiah as a warrior. Right? He has righteousness as a breastplate. He has the helmet of salvation on his head. But he puts on the garments of vengeance for clothing. "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay." And he is clad with zeal as a cloak. He will do it. He will not be slack. He will not be slothful. He has zeal for his holiness. He has zeal for his glory. He has zeal and will repay. And further, Paul teaches us that in putting on this armor, we indeed are putting on Christ. We've seen this in the seven pieces, but Romans 13, 12 through 14, let's look at portions of those verses when it says, "Let us put on the armor of light," and further in verse 14, "but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." The command to stand is before us. Hear it today. And know that you have been given all the resources. God has welcomed you into his divine armory and has said, "This is all that you need. Put it on. Wear it. Use it. Fight the good fight of faith." He doesn't leave you powerless and unprotected. And so put on Christ. Put on the armor of God today and see each of the pieces of God's armor, their purpose and value individually, but also the essential nature
of them being worn together, working together, and how it protects and preserves and even gives the ability for the person of God, the man and the woman of God, the Christian, to be on the defense but also on the offense. To withstand in that evil day, but also press forward in advancing the kingdom as Christ's church pushes back the gates of hell. And when you face your temptations today, beloved, when you're allured by the world, make sure that you're not merely in your street clothes. Make sure that you are clothed in the whole armor of God. We must be Christians who stand in whole armor, because we can't stand otherwise. There's a reason why he said, stand therefore, having been girded up in this, having taken on. Also see the complete head-to-toe aid and protection that it provides you in your daily struggles. Again, it's so easy to search, to look in all the wrong places. We look for things that may have temporary help, but not the help that we truly need. Not the lasting help that we need. If it's not a part of God's prescription here, if it's not a part of what he has designed to help us to stand in battle, then we need to abandon that. And we need to refocus our mind and our attention. We need to make sure that we know, and then it's going to come into our minds by the Holy Spirit's working, the grace of God, that we want to look for these things and make sure that we are saturating our mind with these things, and that we are truly clothed with these things, that we are truly clothed with Christ. For that's really and truly what it's all about. To know more of our Savior. To see our Savior. To see the work and love of our Savior. But even to see the work and love of our Savior in the protection and the provision and the guidance of his people. Jesus is here for you in intimate ways. When a soldier wears armor, it becomes very much a part of their person. It's very close in proximity, tight, secure. Needs to be. When we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to see his grace in that and his love in that. That we can do that. And that he is that for us. That he is our complete head-to-toe, round-and-round protection. And to take comfort in that. And be thankful. And finally, when you're knocked down in the fight, go to him. Run to Jesus. And by his strength and grace, get back up and press on in the battle. He calls us to do this. He calls us to stand and to withstand. He knows that we fall. He knows that we fumble. He knows that we stumble. But he also calls us to get back up. We aren't called to fall and stay down. The world would like us to. The world would like us to fall and to stay down. The world would like to trample us underfoot. The world would like to destroy us. In many ways, it may be tempting for us to think, maybe I should just fall and play dead. This is really hard. But that's not who we are. That's not what we're called to do. That's not the Spirit's work in us. Spirit's work of sustaining us and preserving us and persevering us
means a battle and a life that's fought well, and we continue to get up and press on. Though we may be battle weary and have scars to prove that we've been in the fight. But we do so for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we belong to Him. We're in Him. This is how we are walking worthy of our calling to which we are called. It's fighting for Christ, for His glory, for His crown, for His cause. Here today, tomorrow, and until He returns again. So be encouraged, brothers and sisters. Be encouraged of the gifts that Christ has given you, but be encouraged in the work that Christ is doing in and for you, even as you wear the armor of God and are clothed in putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God for His word.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.